everybody. It's 7:01 a.m. It's Friday. It's Friday, August 10th. All the guys on the radio this morning said it was National Lazy Day. Didn't know that they had that. Kind of makes sense. Feels like a vacation. Well, I am on the road. I'm driving through the West Virginia mountains now on the way to Kentucky. A lot of birds running on the road right now. You know it's a good morning when you're flying down West Virginia back roads and a deer hops out in front of you at dawn and it just keeps on running, you know? Like the lights don't strike it in a way. It was showing me its white tail back and it didn't get stunned by my lights. It just kept going and I was, cleared it by 8 or 10 feet, so not a problem. Hot, hot, unhappy day. How is everyone doing? Oh Lordy, I'm on the road. I'm doing what's called the, I'm gonna name it this, if it isn't called this, it's the John Denver Memorial Highway, which is the country road from West Virginia to the Rocky Mountain High, Colorado. I am on that trip, heading to Vail, Colorado right now, leaving Virginia. I might stop and watch a St. Louis Cardinals, Kansas City Royals baseball game in Kansas City. I might hit that in time. We'll see. Actually, those games last like 5 hours. I could show up 3 hours late and still make the second half of the game. So maybe we'll do that. Anyway, much to discuss today. So as I snuck out late night to start a long drive, I love driving. God, I love driving. So I took off, and as we got to the morning time here, up in the clouds in rural West Virginia, I'm like in the middle of West Virginia. I'm in the heart of coal country right now. And as I was going through the mountains, I actually ran by what was, I believe, a Kingsford charcoal plant. It said Kingsford on it. And there were a lot of trucks and, you know, like heavy duty trucks and large big rigs bringing stuff in there. And they were pumping, you know, they were rolling. And there was a side of a mountain and everything, and there's a river there. And what crossed my mind was I wanted to stop, and I have some extra bottles of water here. I wanted to grab a sample of water from outside of the coal plant on downstream, because Lord knows what's in there. And one of my pet peeves is dirtying up the water. And I kind of wanted to take a picture of the plant and be like, just because there are probably good people working here doesn't mean this place should exist anymore. And I just want to see what was in the water. So I didn't stop, thought about it for a while, but you know, I mean, I got to make the Royals game, right? So I'm rolling out of there, and like as I'm, you know, rolling out and listening to the local radio, and there's a story about them trying to lock up a guy who left his dog in a ditch for 6 months for animal abuse. Like, I guess whatever, that was the main story of the news. But the other story was they were talking about the EPA had reversed a ban on a pesticide, meaning they were allowing a pesticide to be used, I guess, in the area or something. Scott Pruitt did that, the former head of the FBA, who has resigned in disgrace and hopefully will go to jail. I don't think he's been charged yet, but he should be for like 100 things. So they said that he had, you know, written some doctrine that prevented this pesticide from being banned anymore. Causes like abnormal brain development are the side effects of putting that pesticide out into the produce, into the water, into the air, whatever. So Pruitt had written that or passed some edict that you can use this pesticide now, and it provided no scientific evidence, nothing. So they brought a court case against the EPA, and some judge reversed it and said, yeah, Pruitt didn't know what he was talking about, didn't provide the evidence, we're banning this stuff again. And I was like, awesome. How nice is it to pass a coal plant and then hear about the negative impacts that the Pruitt and Trump/EPA was trying to implement, the corporatist special interest, you know, allow all the pesticides and pollute all you can because corporations don't want to pay for cleanup or pay for making sure that they're not wasting, you know, and dirtying up the environment. want to, you know, allow them to do it. The Trump's EPA getting smacked down now by the courts, by rational people, by, I would argue, I don't want to call it the liberated left. I don't want it to be a liberated left. It's moral empowerment is what it is. And I feel it. You can feel the wave of it everywhere. From the start of the Manafort trial in Virginia, my hometown, start of Manafort trial, to people calling out Scott Pruitt of the EPA in restaurants, people calling out Sarah Sanders for being public liars, for making these folks wear the scarlet letter. I feel like they have empowered the moral authority. And you can now speak your mind when you can defend it and stop this. And I did a podcast a few weeks ago called, like, you know, we won't stop. No, no, we won't stop. And the answer is, and yeah, it's true. You just don't stop with this. I used to be, you know, under the Obama administration, when rational people were supposedly in power, when the right, when the Fox News, when the religious nutbags, when the Alex Jones people, when they would attack you on the left or attack you with your empathetic, rational point of view, you would oftentimes back off a little more because you were in power. It's kind of like the whole, when you have a big bank account, you're not affected. When somebody says they have more money than you or somebody else flashes their wealth, you're not intimidated because you're kind of just like confident in your own wealth, I guess. That could apply to anything, looks, wealth, just emotional stability, all of them. You're not intimidated as easily. Well, when you're in power, you don't fight back as much. You know, you just kind of accept those criticisms. You're like, all right, there's just somebody who is whining from their powerless perch, right? Well, it's not like that anymore, and the rational people are still not really in power other than the justice system. I mean, you have the Republican Party versus the justice system and the justice system versus the Republican Party right now. You can see things like the congressman getting arrested for insider trading, Collins. You've got Manafort in jail and under one trial. Being testified against by his business partner. Did anybody ask President Trump why he chose a Russian agent as his campaign chairman? I've yet to hear that question asked or answered by the president. The only answer is, oh, he was not part of us very long. He was in and out real quick. Paul's a good guy, but he was in and out. He didn't have anything to do with us. Why did you choose a Russian agent to be a Ukrainian agent, a foreign agent, to be your campaign chairman, to work for free? What's the answer to that question? What's the answer to that? I know the answer to that. I always wanted to do my Twitter account called Honest Trump, which just gives honest answers to this question. Here's the honest answer to that question. Why did you choose Paul Manafort to be your campaign chairman? The answer is, he's been working with Roger Stone forever. Roger Stone's friends with Trump. Roger Stone wants power. Roger Stone wants anything to do it. Roger Stone's willing to sell his soul to the Russians to get it and use Trump as the proxy to be the powerful one. So Roger Stone's sort of a mastermind, it looks like, behind a lot of this. And that's probably one of the reasons why he hasn't been indicted yet, is that the special counsel, the FBI, America itself, does not want Trump to pardon Roger Stone, because he obviously will, and they don't want to name those crimes which Trump could potentially pardon universally, essentially, and then everyone related to those crimes, which is what he would try to do, if the crimes are laid out. That's one of the reasons why you don't see charges now for certain things, why Manafort's trial doesn't involve a lot of Russian-named charges, even though there's Russian money laundering involved. It's still like they're doing sidebars at the bench where they've got to classify and redact what they're talking about because there's ongoing stuff. It's super complicated. I'm not going to get too boring with it, but just know that my opinion here, if it matters, is that even if you, like I say, bring it all out into the open, we shouldn't run from the truth simply because the president has disproportionate power. Because the president does not have power to recklessly commit crimes. And administering a pardon to a crime that the president is related to committing, involving treason, is something that any rational judge in a court of law would see is an act of obstruction of justice and also an act of treason and an act of war against the United States. So I think that we say, hey, Trump, you want to pardon people related to these egregious crimes against America, thinking that you're going to get away with it because you supposedly have that power in the Constitution. You are wrong, and you should try it, because that is a debate and a court case that even if you try to pack the Supreme Court with people, you are not going to win. Just not. We won't accept it. And it's because of the liberated moral authority that you're now seeing. Americans are standing up and starting to redact the profanity that we have had latent throughout the executive branch and the cabinet and all the places where he has tried to place the most despicable human beings that he can find. I mean, Pruitt was one of them. Price is another one. What's his face from Montana still there? He's screwing Puerto Rico. What's his name? The one who put created the $300 million contract for the company in Montana that has like no employees. Not Price, but I can't remember. Sorry, it'll come back to me later at the end of the pod. How far are we into this thing? We are 12 minutes. Let's do a few more stuff I want to talk about. So arresting Republicans. Basically, what has happened? It's boring. I don't want to talk about that anymore. You guys know. But we should, like Devin Nunez. It's not Nunez. It's Nunez. You can throw an NA on his name. Put an NA on there. It's where it belongs. He wants to pretend not to be Mexican. That's why he does that. He's a fraud in every way possible. By the way, there's something else that we all don't know about. I don't even know about it. There's something else that's up with Devin Nunez, and it's really bad. It's kind of like the Jim Jordan thing where he was watching kids get molested by a doctor and where he was like a wrestling coach. There's that. Nunez has done something else, because there's a reason why he's being extorted by the president. That's his only defense. He's trying to extort the Justice Department by trying to help the president and subvert justice and obstruct justice and try to pull out all the classified information into the light to just get it out, to try to disrupt things. That's why he's doing this. The question is, why does he do that? Why does he have the president's back? And I would guess that the Russians or somebody has compromised on him for something. He's definitely an evil human being, and we should incarcerate him for his own safety, the same way we're doing with Manafort. Manafort, you know, you'd think would be killed by the Russians. And the reason why Manafort probably does fear for his life outside of prison and should is because he is, even though he's not ratting on people, simply his past communications with those Ukrainians, Russians, foreigners, Americans, people at the NRA, everything, all those communications start making everybody culpable. And there's this massive web of fraud that expands and expands and expands, and it becomes impossible to deny. And that's why, I mean, even killing someone does not solve that problem. I mean, what you have done remains and persists in the database of communications that the intelligence agencies and other global resources, global organizations are logging. Your data centers, your companies, your communications companies, that stuff's everywhere. You can't dodge it. So it's a brand new world. We need to continue to promote this moral authority. And speak up for what is right and not back down from the people who used to think that they could shout us down with their tired, old, racist, and for, I don't want to, I'm not going to use the other R word, but the racist and also just 2,000-year-old viewpoint of the world that is not accurate and not even applicable anymore to how society works. So we need to move on from that. There's something else I wanted to talk about, which is a decent transition, which is Facebook. And I'm going to do something. I was thinking about how to do this. I don't like some of the impacts of this, but what the hell? You got to shake it up once in a while. I'm going to defriend everyone. I'm going to do it. All right, I'm going to defriend everyone, and I'm going to launch my own Facebook IP, as I will call it. Facebook IP stands for Facebook in person. I'm not going to send you a friend request unless I have recently seen you in person. I want to do it that way. I want to try that and see how long it takes to really accumulate people, because I found that I'm poor at communicating my image on Facebook. People think I'm crazy, which of course I am, but they think I'm crazier than I actually am. They think I'm legitimately insane and have lost it. And then they meet up with me. A lot of people have kind of like wanted to meet up with me to see how crazy I am. And then we meet up and they're like, oh yeah, you're the same old crazy I always remember. No big deal. And it made me think I need to change the way Facebook works for me, and I'm going to try Facebook IP. And something else I wanted to talk about with Facebook I want to finish off with. It's causing Facebook to lose some value. It's part of that. And let me tell you a little bit about what it is. And we need to go here. I think we're going to do it, but man, it's going to be something. Okay, here we go. So, imagine that information is true and false and sometimes in the middle, right? Three things. It's either correct, incorrect, or both. Well, on Facebook, we get a lot of information passed back and forth. We have an election coming up. One of the reasons why Facebook took a lot of crap was that they were passing a lot of stories that fall under that fake or both category and are not totally accurate and are being portrayed as accurate and are being pushed by foreign nationals, foreign countries, reposted by people who just aren't paying attention, who are tricked, whatever. There's a lot of reasons why people pass information that's not accurate. So what Facebook is being pushed into doing, and I believe they are going to do because it's needed, is to monitor and check information for its validity, its source, its motive in many ways. Well, let's think about how that would work, and let's think about what happens if it works. So you see an article. The article says, Fukushima natural nuclear disaster from earthquake spreads radioactive elements all across Pacific Ocean, shows a huge like colored spiral of what looks like radioactive, you know, food coloring across the Pacific Ocean map, shows like this reaching radioactive whatever all across the Pacific. Like you're going to go fishing off of Oahu and you're going to catch a fish that could make you into super trout, right? They don't have trout out there. It's freaking saltwater. Super walleye. That's also a freshwater fish. Super salmon? Super tilapia? The point is, there's a radioactive fish and you're worried about eating it. Now, here's the thing. That article's bullshit, all right? I saw that. I thought it was true. Friends of mine thought it was true, too. I saw that picture. I was like, damn. I was like, wow, that really did leak. It's like, I believe it. Turns out it wasn't true. Turns out it was nonsense. It was actually a picture that's related to like tidal currents or something, and they superimposed the tidal current coloring with some type of radioactive element instead and said this is the radioactivity that spread. It was BS. Tricked me though, got me scared, right? Well, here's the deal. if I read that and I reposted it or I liked it, or I was given the option of a hover button appearing when I put my finger or my mouse over that picture, and it said to me, do you think this is true and does it scare you? Do you think this is false and you wonder why it's here? Do you think this is true? Do you not know? Do you think this is false but you don't really know? All kinds of different options. I would have said, wow, I'm scared and I think this might be true. That's probably what I would have answered. Now, what would happen in the long run is, imagine there are like hundreds of those different images that you come in contact with every week or every month, and you answer those questions. And maybe you get an immediate response. You probably should, or I think you should, but you could also get like a delayed response and a summary response. Let's think about the summary response would be. Imagine I was completely an idiot and we had 10 of the exact same image, and 10 times I saw that image and 7 times I thought it was, I answered, man, I think that's true and it scares me. And 3 times I'm like, no, that's false. So it was the exact same image. At the end of the week or the end of the month, I would get a summary and it would say, guess what, Ken? Turns out that you are 70% gullible this week, because 7 out of 10 times you said an article or a story that is not true, you thought that that was true. Now, what would that mean to how you thought about your own cognitive ability, your own gullibility, your own ability to decipher and be objective and subjective and skeptical, if that's what you're going for? What would that do to you? And what happens if you get imagine taking the SATs and getting 800. I don't know what the low score is now, but yeah, that's what I'm saying. Imagine you took the Facebook IQ test here for news and it came back and said, wow, you would believe that there's, you know, that humans have traveled to Jupiter. Like, that's how stupid you are. What would happen then? Like, I'm not going to go down the intellectual eugenics route because I was about to. I'm just going to leave it at that. I think that what would happen is, if you kept getting a beat down intelligence score from Facebook, you'd probably switch over to like Breitbart.com instead. You'd go over to Fox News for good, where they would tell you that they love you and Jesus is awesome and, you know, vote for Trump. I think that that's what you would do. And it's kind of what has happened in a lot of ways. And I think that Facebook, in many ways, could potentially go sort of in that direction. It's going to have to if it wants to not take all this flack from everyone who says it can't keep promoting trash. I heard a really great phrase from somebody on one of the news stations today. He said something to the effect of, we would love it if our news, if we get the money out of politics, get the money, all these corporations buying everybody off, if we got them out of the news, then all of a sudden the news would act as a provider of like beneficial information rather than a provocateur of propaganda. And it's so true. It's the groups of the special interest which so infect things that we hear and don't act on our behalf and pretend to be objective. That cause all these problems. It's the deceit. It's why I hate liars with such a passion. And it ticks me off because it affects all of us. When you are lying to us, you are really hurting someone else most of the time for your own benefit. And anyway, that has been a Ken Braverman podcast. A lot going on. I am on the John Denver Highway, and I think I'm almost in Kentucky. So Ken Braverman's out.